I don't know if you've ever had a time in your life when you've lost hope, but David did. You know, he didn't start out like that. He started out like a shepherd. He was just out there singing to the sheep, you know, killing the bears and lions that came to attack and just having an easy life. And then along came Samuel. And of all the kids to pick, he picked the last born. He picked David and anointed him to be king because God said so. But it wasn't time yet for him to be king. There still was a king, King Saul. David went out. He killed his Goliath. He did things for Israel and fought and killed the enemy and won battles. Saul didn't like it. He heard him singing. Saul killed his thousands and David killed his tens of thousands. Wow, you know. He became so full of envy, he hated David. So David had to run. But before that, he made a friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan. Jonathan was the king's son. He would have been the next king. But he, in his friendship with David, began to know, no, you're going to be the next king, David. It's you. But he wasn't jealous. He wasn't mad. He supported. He was glad. He built up his friend and sent him on his way to run away from the king. David gathered around himself men who needed to work, I guess it sounded like when you read the scripture, needed something to do, and they were all willing to go out and fight some battles, and they fought, but they also had to run from Saul and keep running. Here David had been anointed king, but here he is on the run. Here he is being chased. Here he is hiding out far away from Saul as he can get. He began to feel discouraged. In fact, he felt really discouraged when one day they went to a town, they saved him from the Amalekites, and then they tried to stay there, but they asked God, would this town people turn me over to Saul if I stay here? Will they protect me? And God said no. So he knew he had to get. He knew he had to get out of that town and run again. He ran into the desert of Horesh. Now, I don't know where the desert of Horesh is, but he was out there, and Jonathan came to see him. And the Bible tells us Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. I love that about Jonathan. He went to his friend who was being chased by his father, and he knew that that friend was going to be the king, but he wanted to encourage him. He wanted to show him that he cared. You know, the funniest thing is, when you think about it, well, maybe it's not funny, but it strikes me. That's how Jesus is for us. Jesus is like Jonathan. I don't know. I guess he's the puppy in this picture. Maybe so. Maybe he's going to just come and comfort us, encourage us like the little cheetah. Wouldn't that be something? Well, it is something. It's exactly what happens. That's what happens. And down the road, you know, David got himself in another big problem. Again with Saul, again with trying to get away from the Philistines, who now said, you can't go with us into battle, you stay behind. And when they got back to their place, all their stuff had been burned and destroyed, except the wives and children, but they were stolen. They were taken away and kidnapped by the Amalekites. David was so sad because that meant his wives and his children were gone. And all the men were sad, but they were beyond sad. They wanted to pick up stones and throw at David, and they wanted to stone him to death. And David, in 1 Samuel, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. You know, sometimes we need someone at just the right time, and sometimes we know we can find our strength in God even when no one comes. I was kind of like that yesterday. And the day before, a couple people came and shared with me, and I was encouraged. And then that next day, another friend shared, but later, I found my strength in God. But, you know, we need each other, but we also need just to know Him and to be alone with Him and to let Him give us His strength, kind of like we sang about earlier, finding our strength in God alone. It's a beautiful thing when that happens. I wonder what we can do for each other. Sometimes we can bake cookies, if you have an oven. Or other times you can cook extra rice for your friend. Maybe it can just be an act of kindness, sort of a unspoken kindness, like was given to me one day. It was a couple months ago. Dr. Clark had preached. He had spoken. It was at the last chapel service, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, "What if Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say?" And you know, that question just went really deep into my heart. And I thought, I know I want to find out what I should say. I want to get there. And I've thought of it before, but I couldn't quite, you know, get there and know exactly what do I want to ask Him. What's He saying to me? Does He want to say something to me? And everybody left chapel that day. Everyone was gone. And there was a certain Richard at the back who turned on some music. And he was so quiet, you know. And he came up, and the lights were kind of turned down. And, well, you know, still kind of bright in here because of the sunshine. But he was, maybe it was a rainy day. He came up and he was putting away the instruments. And I felt God say, "If you stay here for just a moment." You know, this is kind of personal for me to share, but you guys are my family. And it was just so precious. He said to me, "If you stay a moment, I'm going to speak to you." And Dr. Lynn was downstairs, you know, waiting for me for lunch. He was sitting on the bench down there. I kind of figured that's where he was. I thought, I can't help it. I have to stay. But when Richard put on the music, "He is jealous for me. And oh, how He loves us." The floods just broke loose in my heart. And I was able to clarify what He wanted me to ask Him. And the waves of the Spirit just kept, like, I can't explain it, kept coming over me, and I would wait and come over me. And it wasn't just that emotional kind you get where you cry and cry. I mean, that comes. But this was one of those times when I knew it was Him, and I knew what I wanted to ask Him. I wanted to ask Him to give me a pure heart so there wasn't any block between me and Him, so I could pray for the healing of others. And so I knew He was there. I didn't know what the answer would be, but I just knew He was there. The waves, there's no other way to say it. I would, you know, just catch my breath and a wave would come. And Richard was so there and not speaking to me, just leaving the music. Oh, there's beauty in music sometimes, you know? And the song. And he was just very quiet, and I knew he knew. I knew he knew I was praying. I just kind of put my head over the front row chair. We didn't have our altars yet. And God came. You know, there are unspoken things we can do for each other. Things, that, just small kindnesses. Kind of like when Hagar saw Jesus or an angel, and she said, "You are the God who sees me." We could be that to each other. So that Jesus can speak through your eyes. "I see you." And for me, that was ministry. That was real ministry, what Richard did. And we can minister to each other if you're a ditch digger or if you're, you know, the president. We can do small kindnesses. You don't have to have an education. You don't have to be somebody. Small kindnesses allow the Spirit to move in someone else's life. And you never really get the credit. But it doesn't matter, does it? I want for you to find Him in such a way that wherever you go and whatever you do next, or now, you will be doing it in the power of His Spirit and His genuine love flooding your soul. You know, songs can make a difference. You know, Ephesians says, speak to one another with psalms. Some of you could probably repeat this. Hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. We can sing to each other. We can share with each other. Be together and sing a little like we did earlier today. But another very favorite verse of mine is kind of going along with when David found strength in God and he was alone. And it says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know this one, right? Zephaniah 3:17. I sometimes just have to go to that verse when I don't know if I'm really lovable. I go to that verse and I say, oh, but Jesus isn't looking at the things others look at, even me, what I'm looking at. He just loves me because he's love. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I love that. When several years ago when I was taking a walk down the road, I would often take a walk outside. You know, lots of people lift weights or do lots of energetic things, and I walk. So I walked. It was flat, though, not like here, you know, where you go like this. I'm not like some of those from the hills who can go like this all the time. So I like it flat. So I would walk in a flat. I was in Ohio at the time. Flat road, country road. And on the side was the woods. And, well, this is what I would do. But this isn't just a one-time thing. This was often. This was probably every day for quite a long time. I would sing. And I would pray and I would sing. But I sang a very, maybe you might say it's unspiritual song, but I don't know. Do we separate spiritual and secular too much? Because this song went, now I wish I could sing it like Joe Cocker. You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? I can't do the rest the way he does it because it's too beautiful. I don't want to wreck it. But I could sing it when I was alone going down the road and imagining that I had a voice like Joe Cocker and not maybe it's kind of gravelly, but, you know, I liked it. But I thought, I'm not singing this, you know, to Lynn right now. I'm singing this to Jesus. And I couldn't, it just caused, you know, by singing out loud, you know, kind of just something about it made me really love him and worship him and adore him, but in a, you know, a very raw way, kind of just a regular old way, not something too lofty, you know, that I couldn't reach. It was right there. And then I'd sing it again, and I felt like it was a dare. Would I dare believe he would sing it to me? You are so beautiful to me. Wow. Can you imagine Jesus singing that to you? Maybe you should look up that song. I probably should have had somebody sing it for you this morning. Because it's easy. It doesn't say much other words than that. And I could sing it. There was another song, a Christian song at the time, I remember similar to it, but that one just kind of did it for me. To sing to Jesus, you are so beautiful to me. And then, like this verse says, he will rejoice over you with singing and quiet you with his love. Just imagine, he is quieting you with his love and singing over you. But you can pick your own song. That was what I found and I loved. And then you know there's the promises of God. Are they living in you that and speaking to you at different times? Can you memorize some ones that you haven't memorized before so God can use it at some time in your heart and speak to you? Why don't you do that? Why don't you decide today you're going to encourage yourself and have some scriptures to encourage others with in your heart? I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking how many scriptures kept coming to my mind. And I became overwhelmed with thankfulness that God ever showed me to learn them. What if I hadn't, and I was always just scraping the bottom of life to try to figure out something that could comfort me or help me, or I could do so with others. Learn his word. Let it sink inside of you and become a part of you and be there to give you life. It's so amazing. And you can always remind each other, who is your hope? I love the verse in Colossians 1:27. Your hope is Christ in you. He's the hope of glory. It's like a mystery, says in Colossians. It is. Don't come to this school thinking you're going to have everything sealed up in a box. This is your information. If you could just digest it, you could go, no, it's not like that. It's a mystery to know him. Like music is a mystery. How does it speak to your soul? How does the word of God speak to your soul? How does Jesus meet you where you are and find you and say, I love you? I love you not as you should be, but as you are. I love you not as you should be, but as you are. We think we have to clean ourselves up a bit and fix something. Forget it. Just come to him and let him fix it. Let him fill you with his love and with his joy.